this morning in our context of the vein that we have been gleaning and taking gleanings from for quite a time. There's so much. There's no way that we could ever exhaust this. Amen. We shall perhaps go through the balance of the year and we shall touch the basis of much of it. There's no way, as I've said, that we could even come close to garnering even most of it. For the text entails the body of Christ, the glorious body of Christ, yes, the church.
Yes.
There is so much that has been said, but I'm sure that heaven could testify to more than we've ever heard concerning what the essence of son position and entails.
Yes, yes.
Oh my God, hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. We shall begin, as we always do, with reading in the third chapter of Galatians. Mm-hmm. Shall read those verses, and we shall do this each time.
Mm-hmm.
This was our starting point, and we will always make reference back to it. Our starting point.
Right.
We have progressed down through Ephesians and now we're in Colossians. So in addition to that, our focus is on the third chapter of Colossians. And then in addition to that, we will look at the second chapter of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. As we move about and we follow the course of our dissertation.
Yes, yes.
All right. And let's begin in the third chapter of Galatians, with the reading from the 26th to the 29th verse, and then we will move forward. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read.
Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male and female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise.
We are heirs according to the promise of justification by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
All right. Let's quickly go to the third chapter of Colossians, in verse 10 is where we had left off. Verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read.
Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man,
mm-hmm,
which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
All right. And have put on the new man. And here, again, just to kind of give a quick recapitulation, we had looked at the essence of what it means put off and then put on. And we have correlated that with the fourth chapter of Ephesians, where there is very similar writing, amen, as to what it means, what did Paul mean in light of the fact that we are still dwelling in these mortal, depraved temples, mm-hmm. to say that we are put off. What do you mean, put off the old man? He rises up from time to time to let us know that we are still housed in him. Then he says, put on the new man. Mm-hmm. When the old man acts up, it confuses us because we're supposed to have put on the new man.
Come on,
bring it out. Oh my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a correct and informed exegesis of the scriptures brings to light what he is conveying.
Yes.
In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, I want you to turn to that just for a quick moment. We're kind of going back over a few things to kind of bring us forward.
Mm-hmm.
In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verse 22, remember, we are putting off. We have an aorist infinitive there.
Mm-hmm.
Then in verse 23, to be renewed, we have a present infinitive there. And then in verse 24, he says, put on new man. We have again an aorist infinitive, which speaks to the end that the old man is gone, and the new man, amen, and the new man we have put on. And then many do not understand, they jump from verse 22 to verse 24 without looking at verse 23.
Uh-oh.
Interspersed between putting off the old man in the 22nd chapter, that is the 22nd verse of Ephesians chapter 4, interspersed between what is conveyed in verse 22 and verse 24, amen, is the working mechanism of how this is to be accomplished. In verse 23, it's saying, and be being renewed in the mind.
That's right.
In the mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's that it's the understanding of that which the Spirit perceives, mm-hmm. based upon the fact that God has decreed it.
Mm-hmm.
And we identify with it.
That's right.
Just like we identify with being saved, we identify with what God has done in bringing about our salvation, we also identify with the fact that we have died with Christ,
yeah.
We have been crucified with him, mm-hmm. amen. And having been crucified with him, we'll take off the old man, just like, amen, we have shed the curse and the penalty of sin, mm-hmm. by identification, mm-hmm. we have put off the old man.
Yes, we have.
And it is the renewing of the mind, or that we're continually being renewed, and we're continually we're continually receiving, I should say, the essence of information of what God has done, amen, so that we can identify with what God has done. Remember, creation and the sphere of time that we dwell in, amen, is for the purpose of manifestation. And the actualizing, amen, the actuation, mm-hmm. of a thing is according to God's perception of what God has perceived.
Yes.
And God has perceived it to occur, that it has occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And if God has perceived it through a decree,
yes,
then it has happened.
Yes.
And if it has happened, yes, amen, the renewal of our mind causes us to identify with the fact that it has happened,
yes,
amen, mm-hmm, because God has decreed it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so, with that in mind, this becomes, as we said last week, the motivation,
mm-hmm,
and the motive,
mm-hmm,
amen,
mm-hmm,
and this becomes the inspiration, amen, for the fact of the renewing of the mind,
mm-hmm,
amen, to be renewed. The new man, what is being conveyed, and what is he talking about? Amen. And so, when we look at this, it is the new man in contrast to the old man, based upon that which has been done. According to the workings of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, rather than falling into the snare and the traps, those who practice asceticism,
mm-hmm,
which is self-control, self-righteousness, and as we said last week, anytime you put self in front of anything, it's absolutely not going to go, it's not going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The Bible teaches us concerning self is to get rid of self.
Yeah.
They say don't walk in the flesh, walk in the spirit. Amen. That means to get away from self. So instead of trying to emulate what the Jews done, as Paul writes, that instead of embracing the righteousness of God, which is through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, they rejected that in favor of going about to establish their own righteousness. Amen.
Yeah.
They were going to do it themselves.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But that's not the way, and this is not what the instructions are.
Mm-hmm.
And many have gotten to the point where they've become disappointed and frustrated,
mm-hmm,
to the end that they move away from the essence of what the scriptures and the wordings of the conveyances are, and are moved into the traditional thinking of a system of religious rule and religious instructions. Amen. But this is not what walking with God entails. And I say, as I said last week, and I always say, amen, the methodology that the Word of God has given to the church and directives of walking by faith and walking through the rule of grace will each time bring about better results than those who dwell in religious systems.
Yes,
amen. Who follows the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you can get much more out of grace than you can get out of law.
Yes.
Amen. For the intention of the law was never to bring us to a righteous state. Amen. But the workings of grace will lead us into the total dependence,
mm-hmm,
upon the efficacious work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose because of our justification.
Yes. Yes.
And so, this is the basis of the Apostle Paul plea for moral conduct. And yes, conduct is so very important, but we must follow the directive and follow the process that God has so graciously placed.
Yes.
The old man has died,
mm-hmm,
and has been crucified with Christ.
Yes.
We have put him off identification wise.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The new man has been put on. He is embraced.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We are no longer held captive to the practices of the flesh,
mm-hmm,
an old man. We have made a break. We have no allegiance with him. Amen. So the clear approach against immorality is the command to refrain based upon the instructions that one has been identified with the death of Christ through faith. This is how it works. Amen. Now, as we focus on the 10th verse, again, we note the rendering, and having put on the new man, which is being renewed into a perfect knowledge, corresponding to the image of him who created him. Here we certify the fact that the new man is one who is delivered out of death unto life in Christ. That's what the new man is. Here we have the phrase, having put on the new man, and in light of the context, it obviously speaks of the new man in contrast to the old. In this view, believers have two natures. Follow me now. We have two natures. We have the old, which is depraved and synonymous with the flesh. And we have the new, which is synonymous with the spirit. So you get it? You know, when Paul says walking in the spirit, not in the flesh. Amen. It is in this view that we follow the teachings of the word of God. No, we have the Greek adjective noun, rendered new. It is descriptive of one's identification with Christ in his death. And we said new, we understand we're talking about identification. Amen. This is an in Christ existence that was actualized when it was determined in eternity, which depict the true nature of regeneration. As we said, there's the argument of some in the sovereign grace camp who speak and they debate with those that that teach free will as to when does regeneration occur. Someone said it occurs after faith, and others says no, it must precede faith. Amen. Oh my God, if you would just take the whole gamut of salvation and put it where it belongs, that is in eternity, we will have to be arguing about what comes first. Amen. And it is all in the decree. In the decree of God. When God established it, we were regenerated actually when we were elected. And when we were redeemed, we were justified, we were called. Amen. Oh my God, let's move it all out of time back into the realm of where it belongs. That is the eternal realm. And see that before anyone existed, God, amen, entirely worked on all things from election to justification, through imputation, through, amen, through the righteousness of Christ being imputed to all, amen, this is implemented and brought to pass. Thus, regeneration belongs in the hell of the eternal realm. So what I focus on, it's not the essence of placement into the body of Christ. It's not in the arena of being saved. Amen. There are some that use the expression that we have been saved, we are being saved, we shall be saved. Amen. That's strictly looking at things from the horizontal plane of our walk. Amen. Now, we have been and always was, amen, and from the standpoint of time, we were always in the essence of sonship. When you look back into eternity and you see, amen, that he made us sons before he created us. He created us to be sons. Oh my God. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. In other words, let's take our focus off of the workings of salvation in time and place them in eternity, and then we can all praise God that before the foundation of the world, amen, God took care of everything. Amen. The workings of time, amen, are not devised to deal with working out anything concerning the salvation plan. It is relegated to identify with the fact that God had already worked it out. Woo, hallelujah. Isn't that something? And if we can focus on this, then as we look at terms, new man, amen, we do so on the basis of identifying with what God has done. Now, Paul makes a very important descriptive statement concerning the new man. That is, he is renewed. I want you to follow me closely this morning, because we're going to move into a critical area that I think is important for us. It is very, and what's so important about this is because we need encouragement.
Yes.
As we live, as we go through the problems and the situations of life, the disappointments.
Yes.
Amen. And if you don't have this thing straight, you won't know whether you're coming or going. You won't know whether you're saved or not.
Yes.
Amen. Your life will be full of frustrations.
Yes.
as we face the different vicissitudes of life and the trials and the things that come against us, amen. We need encouragement.
Yes.
We need encouragement.
Yes.
To stand in the face of the enemy.
Yes.
And stand in the face of all of those things that are testifying.
Yes.
Against the glorious spiritual blessings.
Yes.
That God has wrought for those of us who love Him.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I want you to very, very, very closely look into the essence of this 10th verse of Colossians. In fact, Brother Deacon, the 3rd chapter, verse 10, I want you to read that again.
Colossians 3:10.
Mm-hmm.
And have put on the new man.
We have put on the new man.
Which is renewed in knowledge.
Which is renewed in knowledge.
After the image of him that created him.
In the image of him that created him. Now there is some controversy here over one expression. I want you to look in circa is renewed. It is critical to the context of this part to properly interpret the Greek participle anakeronoumenon, which some translations render it is being renewed,
right,
which causes a problem. Others have opted for is renewed. So the question is the new man being renewed, or is he already renewed? Follow me now. The difference between these two renderings sets forth the explication of the state and the status of the new man as to, number one, whether he is fully matured or in the process of maturation. Number two, whether he is a spiritual glorified entity, eternally positioned in the body of Christ, or is he a combination of them? That is both spiritual and physical entity progressively being perfected and moving toward an eternal state of glory. Amen. Also, is he exclusively in the invisible sphere, totally disassociated from the depraved nature of some physical representation in the physical sphere, evolutionarily evolving in proportion to progression in conduct and attitude. This has been the subject of much discussion. And much debate. And many have from it, they have coined phrases that we use many times, such as phrases such as progressive sanctification. Proposing that sanctification is some process. Proposing that it is that which is contributed to by the child of God. Proposing that maturation is somehow connected with sanctification. And they get the two mixed up.
Yes.
Amen. First of all, as we look at this, we must understand what the scripture teaches and what it is consistent in the conveyance. So as we review these contrasting premises, note that both are imposed, yet they cannot possibly be antinomic. That is, they cannot be concurrently contrasting and consenting. So the new man is not eclectic. That is, he is not one of the, he is either one or he is the other, but he is not both. Amen. He cannot be renewed and is being renewed. He is either renewed or he's on his way to being renewed.
Amen.
But the surest method of determining what actually depicts the composition of the new man entails the consistency of the scriptures in describing him. In other words, let the scriptures do the talking. In this regard, we note the exegetical contents of the second chapter of Ephesians, and I want you to turn that. You're going to hold Colossians, but you're going to turn to Ephesians. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. When you get that, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Follow me closely here. It's almost may end up in the didact mode, but my more concern, amen, as to whether I'm preaching or teaching, is that you get the understanding of this conveyance. Mm-hmm. All right, Brother Deacon, I want you to read 13, 14, and 15. Well, you know what? I think we better back up here so that we can get the full context. What is being conveyed, because in starting in verse 13, you're going to start with a coordinating conjunction, but there, which means that there's something on the other side of that that we need to have looked at. All right? Verse 11, everybody. Let's look at verse 11. All right? Read.
Ephesians 2, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, remember.
Remember?
That ye being in time past,
Gentiles
in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands.
Now, in all the same time, and not to go all the way back to the beginning of the context, because of this, I want to try to get to a certain point. After all, we got to get through this. I got the rest of the year to do it in this, but still, if I don't move expeditiously, amen, we'll be open to 2:05 in this, and my aim is to try to wrap this up by the end of the year. Here in the second chapter, Paul expresses the fact that in another dispensation and another time, we had the Jews and we had the Gentiles. And the Jews were God's people, accepted by him under contract or under covenant. And the Gentiles, amen, had no relationship with God.
Right.
And then under the grace contract, in the establishment of the church, amen, the middle wall of partition, the dividing line, of the line of demarcation, that existed between Jew and Gentile, amen, has been annihilated in the new contract, in the covenant contract. Remember, we have read in several places now that in the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. So now the wall is broken down, and here he amalgamates, the essence of ethnicity. So there is no such thing here. And what he is doing now is he is speaking to the Gentiles, and he says, "Now remember, in the time past, you were not in on this thing." All right, keep reading. Verse 12.
Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
That at that time, ye were without Christ.
What time? The time past.
Mm-hmm.
In the previous dispensation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This would have to be prior to the dispensation of grace, of that which was delivered unto the Apostle Paul. All right, read.
Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel.
Amen. This is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Amen. That was only one placement group. Amen. Mm-hmm. All who were saved and, amen, had positions of sons, and all, amen, whom God had provisions for at that time, there was only one placement. If you were not a part of the commonwealth of Israel, you had no part or no relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read.
And strangers from the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Of
from that covenant at the time. Amen. Remember, here the covenant of promise, or the covenant that belongs to that promise, is the Abrahamic covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And under it, what was the status of the Gentiles?
Having no hope.
Mm-hmm.
And without God in the world.
All right. Now, verse, down we move.
Yeah.
And we can deal now with but.
Yeah.
All right, read.
But now, in Christ Jesus,
now speaks of the present dispensation.
Yes.
My friend, if you don't divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you will never understand the instructions. You'll never understand the workings of God. If you seek to amalgamate, the church with Israel, then how do you deal with this passage of where there is a distinct line of demarcation?
Yes,
how do you in the prior dispensation to claim, any of the blessings or the promises of Israel when it distinctly says that we were strangers and aliens at that time.
Yeah.
Amen. So now, and we must focus on the now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, I'm not being a despot to what I said, to you and giving advice, to you and to all that will listen, to the major in your gospel. Stay in your contract, because there's nothing for you prior to your contract. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is why we embrace the gospel of the grace of God.
Yeah.
Amen. For in it there are provisions.
Yeah.
Whether you are Jew or Gentile.
Yeah.
Whether you are bond or free.
Yeah.
Whether you are male or female. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are the elect of God, call and paste it to the mystical body of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. There are provisions for you. There's joy for you.
Yeah.
There's love for you.
Yeah.
There's mercy for you. There's grace.
Ooh.
But you must be in this contract. All right, read.
Verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
For he is our peace,
mm-hmm.
who hath made both one.
What both one? Amen. What both?
Ooh.
We were all one according to the covenant theologians. There would have been no both. Both means there's two.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we didn't draw the line. God drew the line.
God.
And if God draws the line, you cannot
You cannot take a part that which God has put together, but neither can you put together what God has taken apart. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Ooh. Read that.
For he is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
Oh yes, he did.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
One new man. Mm-hmm. One new man. We see that, and this is what is going to give us the description as to what the status of the new man is.
Yeah.
Is he renewed and complete in essence of who he is? Is he being worked on? This is what we must come to grips with. As we look at this passage that has been read, it obviously defined the composition, state, and status of those who are positioned in the body of Christ. Here, as we look at verse 15 from the Greek text, and this is where we will focus, it reads the enmity in his flesh, having abolished the law of commandments and decrees, that he might create in himself the two into one new man, making peace. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Now, here we have before us the entire makeup of the body of Christ. The church in the dispensation of grace, both Jews and Gentiles. This encompasses the complete composition of all those elected and placed into the body. Next, as we ascertain the new man's status, follow me now.
Come on.
We know from the Greek text, the statement of verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus you, those being far off, have been made nigh, near, by the blood of Christ.
Yes.
Here we have a Greek adverb, nimi, rendered now. It documents the status of those who are in Christ, Jesus, as contrasted with those who are without him, are those in prior times being far off. We have the phrase in Christo Iesu, rendered in Christ Jesus. Going into a little bit of grammar now.
All right.
It is an allocative case, which means that it is in the self that our spiritual position is now in the sphere location as it is centered in Christ. Thus, it is an indissoluble identity.
Yeah.
Observe that it is exclusively the blood of Christ that has accomplished this. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that was always there and always available to God. The blood of Jesus that saved Adam when he should have been annihilated in Eden. The blood of Jesus that saved Noah and his family when they should have been annihilated in the flood. The blood of Jesus that saved Abraham over and over on numerous occasions when he goes into Egypt, when he leaves the promised land because it's not what he thought it should be, and goes into Egypt and gets in trouble. He should have been annihilated. Amen. The blood of Jesus, amen, that was available when he should have believed the promise of the seed, amen, that he would bear a son through Sarah, and he turned turned to Hagar, amen, and through disobedience, he should have been annihilated. But it was the blood of Jesus that saved him. The blood of Jesus that saved Moses, amen, when he was called to speak to the rock, and he spoke the rock, even though he did not cross into the promised land, he was saved, he was spared. The mercy of God, hallelujah, was there to save him. Amen. The children of Israel, of the many times that they disobeyed God, they should have been slaughtered. They should have been annihilated. But the blood of Jesus was available.
Glory to God. Thank God.
So the blood of Jesus has always been available. Hallelujah. For it is through it and it alone that God is able to show mercy.
Hallelujah.
And to show grace.
Hallelujah.
Now follow me now.
Hallelujah.
As we progress through this. And of course it is in the writings that we gave you on pages 16 and 17. And I want you, when you get home, go back through it. Amen. And if you happen to have the tape, or if you happen to pull it down on the internet from the audio section, take this document and go through this. Amen. Believe me, this is critical information. In verse 14, we have the Greek phrase "afto gar estin e irini imang," rendered "for he himself is our peace." It conveys the fact that Christ, that is Christ himself, afto, he is the Son, the sin substitute. And as the sin substitute, he is the basis for the new man's position in Christ. Amen. New man. What is the basis for the new man? Christ himself. Amen. Christ himself plus what? Christ himself, period. Amen. The statement that he himself is our peace, that is Iman Irini, it emphasizes who he is, which determines the value of his blood to effectuate peace. Amen. Remember now, amen, the reading here, as it culminates in the 15th verse, he says, "And so making peace," we have peace with God. Amen. Why do we have peace with God? Because he himself is the, hallelujah, Christ is the sin substitute. Follow me now. As we ascertain the new man's status, this is what we're focusing on. Is he being renewed or is he complete?
Hallelujah.
Is he renewed or is he being renewed? And this is so important. And the reason this is so important is because sometimes you think you're there.
Come on.
On any given day, something can happen.
Yes,
let you know you're not there.
Yes.
But the question is not so much as whether you are there.
Come on, yeah.
Is the new man there?
Yeah.
And we go by our testimonies. It depends upon what day of the week it is. Huh? Oh, you all looking at me like that. Listen. Hey, man. Oh, my God. So the question is it complete? Is it complete?
Yeah,
what is his status? Here, let's look at the statement. Who has made both one.
Right.
Here we have the Greek phrase "o pisas," rendered "who is made." Grammatically, here it consists of an article combined with the aorist participle. And this participle, which is a verbal adjective, is in the nominative case. So here, as we look at this verse, the subject here involves who has made. The fact that God has made. Amen. It may also be rendered "the one who has made."
That's right.
The one who has made. This denotes, follow here, this denotes completed action in the past. eternity. Amen. When Christ was the one who piasas, who made. Thus, Christ is the one who produced, who constituted, and created both Jew and Gentile into the body, and to the end that they might be made one. And this was done in eternity, not in the process of time.
Yes.
It's very important that we define and appreciate the new man as compared to the old man, and not get the two mixed up. Because on any given day, the old man acts up, and he said, "I thought I had put him off." And the devil comes to tell you, "You ain't new."
First thing he did.
He may even say, "You ain't got nothing." And this is why we've got to let the scriptures lead us and guide us as to what he is. Again, we have the phrase, we have the expression, who is made, of the one who is made. It is an aorist tense. It is a participle. It is a verbal adjective. It is describing the one who has made, and the fact that it's in the aorist tense means that what he has done is complete.
Yes, sir.
Glory, sir. Absolutely. Amen.
Our problem is we don't know who and what the new man is. We think he is the old man made over in Reformation. But reformed old man could never truly, as a testimony, represent the essence of who the new man is. Follow me this morning.
Thank God. Amen.
This is why some people used to say, I lay my salvation down for a second. I lay my religion down. That's what they really used to say it. And I'll take care of you and then pick you back up. No, you don't. Amen. The old man is put off by identification. He's dead. But somebody said, "Well, you could fool me." Amen. Somebody made me holler under the collar, and I could swear he was still around.
Make it plain.
The key word is identification.
Yes.
Or else you look at this, and either won't make sense to you, you'll come up with some notion, and what they have made out of this is this thing about progressive sanctification. There's no such thing as progressive sanctification. Sanctification means to be set apart. You're not set apart in stages. It means to be separated. Now what they're speaking about is conduct.
Yes, sir.
And conduct is so very important.
Yes.
But we ought to know what it is, and we ought to pursue it. Yes. We got to understand, amen, what God has done for us.
Yes.
So we can have a concise, amen, basis for following the directive that God has given us in the progression of our walk. Now, I haven't had time yet. I'm writing, I think I did introduce it to some in the perfecting class. The doctrine that was taught some centuries ago, you don't hear it too much. It is called the doctrine of peripatiology, which is the doctrine of the Christian walk, of the child of God's walk. And it deals with the essence of our walk. And the doctrine of peripatriology does not entail 5 ways how to do nothing.
Amen.
Or 10 ways, or 10 steps. Amen. It simply takes this information in a documented way, and it conveys it to our hearts. To the point that has received this information will renewed in our minds. And this is the way that you grow in grace. You grow in grace through the knowledge of God. Amen. Because you can't grow if you don't know. I thought you all like that. I thought you all were like that.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't.
And so this is why we must have this information. Follow me now. I'm going to bail out in about 10 minutes here. The new man. As we look at verse 15, the enmity in his flesh, having abolished the law of the commandments and decrees, as we have written, that he might create in himself the two into one new man, making peace. From the verses before that he read, I had Deacon to read, we established the eternal workings of Jesus Christ, and having abolished the law of commandments and decrees. Here, it is very important to note the sphere in which this destruction occurred. How do you get rid of the enmity? Here, in his flesh, by means of his flesh. Here we have the instrumental case, as it gives this implication that the enmity is abolished in his flesh. Amen. Hence, Paul is affirming that Jesus Christ abolished. Here we have the Greek word katarisas, which means abolished or null, nullified, and abrogated, as he speaks of the law that was consisted of man commandments, which were fulfilled through the various ordinances of the creeds. And somehow the church still hasn't gotten that lesson. It's gotten by. Yeah. We still have men teaching the Ten Commandments as principles, yes, but as practices for the purpose of obtaining a standing before God. No. The new man is not the old man practicing the Ten Commandments. I think I said it again.
Yes.
And although the commandments are good. Because they are the principles of God.
Yes.
But don't you ever think that the new man is the old man practicing the Ten Commandments. Here what this says is that this was abolished by the decree. For even in the Commonwealth of Israel, the new commandment replaced the old commandment. It actually, amen, annulled, the law or the conditions of the law that said, amen, you had to do this in order to be pleasing to me. Even the old, amen, even the new, rather, law, the new, amen, testament to replace those even expectations. But that's all come all over into the veil of now. Can you say now? Can you say now? As we look at this, Paul says we're not under law. Now some would say, and we won't deal with it today, but we'll deal with that. We always have to go back and deal with it. Some would say, hey, if that's the case, then let's let it hang out. No, you forgot something. The verse before it, he said, you have put off the old man. But, amen. Paul said, have no confidence in the flesh. Have no part of the flesh. The enmity that between you and God, He's in the flesh. So if you want to get close to God, let's get away from the flesh. See how consistent the Word of God is. So thus we focus on the reason that this was done. Why was the law as a basis for righteousness done away with by decree? In order that He, that is Jesus, might create in Himself the two into one new man. You see, as long as the law was there, there could be no establishment of the church. How are you going to accomplish? How are you going to take the law, accomplish the establishment of the church through the law, when you could not establish the composition of the Commonwealth of Israel through the law? If it didn't, in other words, if it didn't work for Israel, what expectations would it be that it would work for us?
Oh, glory.
But to this day,
yeah,
you've got man-made rules. And they said, follow the law. And here the scriptures are crying to us.
Yeah.
They're screaming to us.
Yeah.
No! Don't go that way. You end up like Israel.
That's right.
So is the law good?
Yes.
Yes. But through the weakness of the flesh. And so, the focus is away from the flesh. So if the focus is away from the flesh, it means that the flesh, your flesh, my flesh, no flesh, is the true representation of the new man. What is it? Oh, that clock just beats me up. Hallelujah. I have to come back next week. Amen. Give me about 3 minutes here. In order, it was done in order that Jesus might create in Himself the two into one new man. In effect, all that was accomplished was something that something new might be brought into existence as He creates this new man in the sphere of Himself. Amen. Here is a close. We note the Greek word kritisis, rendered creed, used in the New Testament, refers to the work of God. And there are a litany of scriptures that are documented here in the document. But in this context, it is used in reference to Jesus Christ, as the implication is that He is God. Oh my God, I know I'm going to come back to this next week. Thus, this created act by God, by Jesus Christ, is situated, and here we have the expression, in aftu, which is rendered in Himself. Amen. In other words, this is why we focus on Christ. The focus is on Christ. The focus of the new man is on Christ. This phrase is also is in the locative case. Indicates that Jesus performed this creation of this new creation of this new man in the sphere, location, and essence of His nature.
Hallelujah.
So the new man,
hallelujah,
is not about my nature, reformed or whatever, warm over, or your nature. It is in the essence of the nature of Christ.
Amen.
Accordingly, the focus of the new man, of the new creation, is in Christo, that is in Christ, in His presence, and is in His purpose. Hence, the phrase rendered unto one new man defines this purpose. The thought is that It was God's purpose to join together into a single new creation, both Jews and Gentiles. So here a more literal translation would be, unto the end, one new man, as here we have the preposition east, as is utilized here, noting the direct object of the accusative case. Is it focus? Is this on to the end? What is the object? What is God trying to do? What is the essence of this creation, of the function of the new man that God has created? Here we have an adjective, kenon. It denotes that which was previously unknown. This is what new means. That which was previously unknown and has been now manifested into existence.
Amen.
It wasn't there before. It's there, but it always was there. Amen. But it was not brought to light through manifestation. Here, the Greek word anthropon is used in this context of kenon. New preceding it, it forms the metaphorical connotation, new man, depicting the body of Christ. So what is the new man? The new man is a component in the body of Christ. It has nothing to do with you in your present manifested state. Amen. It's speaking about, amen, the one who has been placed into the mystical body of Christ. But the essence is, the renewing of the mind deals with the fact that each day, amen, we are to be identified with the fact that he is, in essence, a component of the body of Christ. Amen. So when we say new man, don't look at me. Amen. Hallelujah. You can look at what I'm seeking to identify with, but don't look at me. Amen. Hallelujah. What are you saying? What are you saying? Then what should I look at when I consider the new man? Christ? Because when you look at the body and you want to identify who the body belong to, you look at the head. Huh? This is why we will always be pointing you to Christ. It's all about Christ. It's all about him. It's not just, amen, about him. It's all. Can you say all? It's all about him. Amen. The beautiful, matchless Lamb of God. Amen. Which, amen, as the head, is the representative of the new man, which we, amen, are the components. But the most blessed part about it is that he is not being renewed. He is renewed. Amen. For he has been placed as the first creation into the essence of the body of Christ in eternity. Amen. In this respect, the new man existed before the old man was ever created. God bless you. Be back next week.